Hey, good morning. Welcome to New Day. So glad you're here this morning as we continue in our series, Believe. We're in the second week of how to live like Jesus. We're looking at spiritual disciplines, and this morning we focus on prayer. And I don't know about you, but prayer for me in my life is one of those things that tends to slide away, and I have to be constantly vigilant and constantly reminding myself to pray. Today's key idea, for those of you who are reading along in the Believe book, and if you're not, that's okay. This is still going to totally apply, but the key idea in the book says, I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. Now, one of our major requests as a church is that there would be multiplication, that we would see disciples of Jesus who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, and so on. And one of the challenges to the following the Great Commission that Jesus gave us to, as we are going, be making disciples, is that we haven't had a lot of chance to connect with people in face-to-face, meaningful ways over the last 12 months, particularly people who we don't already know. And now we're starting to see things opening up a little bit. More people, I think I read this morning, I think about one-third of the people in Wisconsin have gotten both their first and second, their everything they need for their vaccination, about a third of the people in Wisconsin. So things are opening up a little bit, and we're starting to see people again. And one of the challenges, I don't know if this is a challenge for you, but one of the challenges for me is somebody that I haven't seen for a long time, sometimes I totally blank on their name. And if you're like me, when you blank on someone's name, you might resist having a conversation with them because you're going, oh, I don't want to, what if they, I don't want to say the wrong name or look foolish or so. As things are starting to open up more, I just want us to be ready. Start going through those names in your head. Michelle and I were at Menards this week, and somebody came into the aisle where we were, and you know that moment where you look at someone and go, I know that person, even just from the eyes up, I know that person. Maybe there's going to be a conversation. I haven't talked to them in over a year, but maybe we'll talk. What is his name? What is his name? And sure enough, we couldn't avoid each other. not that we wanted to avoid each other, but you know there's that moment of, am I really going to start a conversation here, or am I just going to pretend that we're all wearing masks, we can pretend. But he actually said hi to me, and I know exactly who it was. It was one of the Barrett boys, Dave and Michelle, one of their boys who's a student who kind of grew up in New Day and is now an adult, and he's shopping at Menards. So I see him, and we have a conversation, and he introduces me to the guy that he's with, and we're having this conversation, and all the while, and I imagine like the rocket operations going on in my mind, like the NASA control room, where there's one part of the room that's controlling the conversation, or like everything's fine, we're having a good conversation here, and the other part of the room is like, we've got to find the name, we've got to find it, and then by the end of the conversation, he's saying goodbye, and I'm like, do I go for launch on a name here? Do I give it a shot? Do I feel like, and in my mind, there's part of me going, a person hearing their own name is one of the sweetest sounds that they can hear. This is something that I've taught my kids. Talk to somebody by name. It's polite, and people like to hear that. So part of me is going, say the name, say that. And part of me is going, but what if it's wrong? So I launched it. I threw it out there. Good to see you, Grayson. And then I walked over to Michelle and was like, what are the Barrett boys' names? Did I get it right? There's two of them. What's the other one's name? And we're walking, we're going through the store, and we're and finally, like minutes later, she's like, "Carter, that's the other one. That's the younger one. That was the older one. Yes, we are go for launch." And we didn't mess it up. Now, that doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I do mess it up, and then I beat myself up about it, and I'll tell Michelle, I messed that one up, and she'd be like, "Why do you say their name anyway? Why do you take the risk?" Well, part of what we need to do as disciples of Jesus is be ready to have connections with people as things are opening up, as the weather gets better and we have more neighbors outside. It shows care for our neighbors if we can say hello to them by name. Even if we get it wrong sometimes, we can just apologize for that and say, "It just takes me a little while." If you are really nervous about knowing your neighbor's names, and yet you want to be a person who's praying for your neighbors, there is a website that can help you do that. BlessEveryHome.com. BlessEveryHome.com is designed to help you pray for your neighbors. They will give you a daily message, if you so choose, and will list for you households around your neighborhood with the people's names. Now, you want to be careful to not use this as a way to creep people out. You don't want to walk past somebody you've never met and be like, "Hi, so-and-so," and say their name, and they've never met you, and they're shocked and weirded out by it. And you especially don't want to follow that up with, "I know your name because I looked you up on a prayer website, and I'm praying for you every day." You know, you just want to be careful how you utilize that. However, it can be really helpful to have to have resources like that as we're looking at praying for multiplication, as we're looking to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. There are some helpful tools that we can have in place. A year and a half ago, in October 2019, our church board went on a work weekend together, and we came out with three key instructions that they gave to me. And the first one, the top one, the number one instruction was emphasize prayer. That's what we need to do in the life of our church. They said this a year and a half ago, and they said, these are your marching orders. First, emphasize prayer. And we've learned and applied so much about prayer over the last couple of years. We considered a concept called praying, one teacher called praying backwards. It's not really like praying backwards. It's just remembering that as we tend to use "in Jesus' name we pray" as a punctuation at the end of a prayer, what this teacher suggested is if you start with "in Jesus' name we pray," you're starting with the authority of Jesus. You're remembering that it's not by your own strength, but by his authority that you're approaching the throne of God, that can be a helpful tool. We've looked at the two key words, "so that help us to remember. If we're praying something, as we're praying something, we should consider, how does this connect to God's will? How does this connect to God's glory? This is the example that Jesus sets for us when he prays and says, "Let them be united so that they will know that you sent me." If we're praying for somebody's health, why? Why do we want them to be healthy? And we pray that this person would be healthy so that they can continue their ministry. We pray for a miraculous healing in their life so that you will be honored and glorified by anyone who hears the story. And then we've got two key questions that we have learned to ask, and they come from Philippians chapter 4. The two key questions are, what are you thankful for, and what's stressing you out? And they come from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Just park on that for a moment. Other translations say, don't be anxious about anything. Is anxiety a problem in our society right now? It's huge. I remember being in a coffee shop and running into a school administrator and asking, after we had a short conversation, you know, kind of the polite catching up, how are things going? Asking the school administrator, hey, as I pray about the schools, what's something I can be praying about? What are you dealing with right now? Essentially the question, what's stressing you out? And he said, anxiety in our students. It's just out of control. And this was a couple of years ago. I heard on the radio this week that 1 in 4 18 to 23-year-olds, so we're looking at college-age people, 1 in 4 has seriously contemplated suicide in the last 12 months. Anxiety, depression, our minds are under attack. And Paul gives this instruction, don't worry about anything. If only it was that simple, you know, if we could just say, stop worrying. Then he gives us a practical step to take. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So when we ask the question, what are you thankful for? And we ask the question, what's stressing you out? What we're trying to help each other do is follow the instructions that Paul gives us. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. I just had a conversation with David who came in this morning. It's his first time being in the building. He said it's completely different. Yes, and it continues to change. And if you want to check out the building and be here in person, you can go online to our website, newdaywi.com. In the description here, there's a link that you can click in order to let us know that you're going to be here. We're not up to code and all the safety regulations. We can't just open our doors to the public. We can, though, give you a preview. Just let us know that you're going to be here. And in my conversation with him, he said, he goes through these times where he gets frustrated or there's a problem that comes up and he's got a guy, a disciple of Jesus, and this is how discipleship works. He's got a disciple who's a little bit further along than him, so he'll talk to his buddy Ralph, and he told me this morning. He said, Ralph has this phrase, turn it over. Turn it over. If you're feeling anxious about something, you've got to turn it over to God. And then David said to me, what we want to do, what we tend to do is stir it up. We tend to, when something is worrying us, we let it move around. We just think about it and think about it and worry about it and get into this spiral. And the advice of Paul and the advice from Ralph and the advice that disciples of Jesus should be giving to each other is instead pray about everything. Now, if you were to go to a counselor and pay that counselor, I don't know how much counselors are charging these days, but for a half hour, it might be a couple $100, or you might have a copay where it's only $20. Let me save you that copay and save you that half hour and suggest to you that if you were to go into a counselor and say, I'm looking for ways to cope with anxiety and depression, what they might say to you is, start by journaling your feelings. Well, what Paul is saying to us is take an inventory of your feelings. Take what you're worrying about and give it to God in prayer. So what I might do is save you some time and save you some money and say, take a piece of paper and write down what's worrying you and turn it over to God as a prayer. And he doesn't stop there. Write down what you're thankful for. Get off that spiral and start something new. Turn off that faucet and turn this one on. That reminds me of Ralph's wife has a blog, Faucet of Hope. If you want to find out more about what Ralph and Linda are up to, you can look up Faucet of Hope on Facebook. So don't worry about anything. Give thanks to God. Then you will experience. Now, this is an amazing promise that I want you to hold on to tightly. Then you will experience God's peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I know we've been over this passage before. I'm just afraid that not everybody is actually putting it into practice. And the promise here, imagine that, how amazing this promise is, that God's peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So as we think, prayer is that, it's that thing that kind of slides off for me. It's a thing that I have a hard time prioritizing it. I have a hard time setting time aside. I'm not sure what to do during prayer, so I just kind of don't do that thing, that discipline. What you're saying is I'm okay with allowing my heart and my mind to be vulnerable. We need a guard around our hearts and minds. And this is what Paul promises leads up to that guarding of our hearts and minds, is taking the worry, turning it into prayer, giving it to God and saying, God, you've got control of this. The earth is yours and everything in it. Take this and thank you for all that you've done. We use this in discussions and small groups every week. I meet with my office staff team, and this is how we start our meetings. You could use this in some form when you run into a neighbor or a friend. I mean, seriously, to ask them, and maybe not in those exact words, but sometimes I'll say to somebody, hey, what's the best thing that's happened to you this week? What are you celebrating? What's stressing you out? What's keeping you up at night? And then you have a better idea how to pray for your neighbor. You might even find in that conversation, you might get a sense from God that there's an openness where you could even say, can I just pray for you right now? I've had that with my neighbor who's talked about stressful things, and I've helped her enough, served her enough when she needs help that she knows I care. So for me to say, can I pray for you right now? Not super weird. In the Overflow campaign, we said we want to put our stake in the ground. We want to make this building, this ministry center, usable. We're working on that. We could use your help. Every other Saturday, we have people here. We want to put our stake in the ground, and we want to pray for multiplication. We've challenged people to say, who are your 12 for 2021? Who are 12 people who you've said, I'm going to commit to pray for these 12 people daily. And we have 24 hours of prayer and fasting every second Saturday where we ask people, take one of those 24 hours. Let's get coverage of all those 24 hours. And then let's start a discussion via email. You let somebody know after you've prayed for an hour, what did God do? What did he bring to mind? What passages of scripture were you in? What songs came to mind? It's a beautiful thing that happens every other Saturday that you can participate in. Just shoot a message, a direct message, and just say, I'm interested. I want to be involved in that. Have you written down names of people who you're praying for? 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says this, and this, I mean, listen to the language here. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Does it sound like this is a secondary thing, to pray for all people? No. He is urging Timothy, Paul is urging Timothy, first of all, pray for all people. And what does that look like? He says, ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Be the go-between. For somebody who doesn't even know how to ask God for help, you be the one to ask God to help them. And give thanks for them. Verse 2, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. That whole thing about praying for authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. I've thought, as I've read this passage, you know, for years and years, I've thought, well, we're praying for them so that they will make decisions that are honoring to God, so that we'll have policies and governance in place that is peaceful, that allows us to live quiet lives. Over the past year, my experience in the church in America makes me wonder if peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity are not as much a product of the policies around us, but the effect of the prayer inside of us. Let me explain. So we're praying for the authorities, and I thought I was praying for them to make policies. What if there's more going on than that, and my ability to live a peaceful, quiet life involves me praying for the authorities around me? There's so much division, there's so much poison, there's so much hatred that we're asked to buy into. And what Paul is saying to Timothy is, don't buy into that. You've got to be praying for the authorities around you. And the authorities in the first century were not friendly towards Christianity at all. There was significant persecution going on. Paul was always in prison over and over again. And he's saying, pray for these authorities. Now, part of it may be pray that they make policies that are peaceful. But I think part of it is, how can you hate someone who you're praying for? As we choose, instead of buying into the poison and the hatred, as we choose to pray, wouldn't we experience a greater peace and a greater quiet within ourselves, a greater trust that God, who is king over all, is going to manage things in a way that organizes them, how he will be glorified in the end, and not be fearful about which policy happens and who happens to be in charge, but instead be at peace as we're turning it over to God, right? Not stirring these things within ourselves or letting someone else stir us up. Peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity are not as much a product of the policies around us, but the effect of prayer inside us. Are you prioritizing regular prayer as part of your day? The example that we see from Jesus, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Jesus has an intimate connection with the Heavenly Father all throughout the day. And I know some of us pray throughout the day in small and sometimes larger ways. If Jesus needed to set aside time to get away from people and to prioritize that communication with the Heavenly Father, are we seriously saying we don't need to? He made it a point to set aside time to get alone with his Heavenly Father. How are you doing that? I'm going to give you that gift today. Whether you're by yourself or you're with other people, write down or type out, however you need to do it, a short answer to each of these questions. What are you thankful for, and what is stressing you out? I'm just going to give you time, because I'm going to end my message earlier than I normally do. So I'm giving you the gift of that time set aside. And then turn your answer to those questions into prayers. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. So think about those things that you're worried about. And instead, pray about everything. So write down that thing that you're worried about and turn it into prayer. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And the promise is then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Another question I want you to write an answer to is, who are my 12 for 2021? I have them written down on a piece of paper that I use as the, words just don't come to me. Yeah, bookmark is what the thing is called. Grayson, bookmark. Just things that I have to like relearn. It's my bookmark in my Bible is my 12 for 21. And then as I learn things about what's happening with the people on my list, then I write notes on there. I've added some people to it. I've taken some people off. I have one person on my list died. They get a replacement now. Write down your 12 for 2021. Remember 1 Timothy 2:1. I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Do not hesitate to obey what we have heard from God's word today. I urge you, let's take time right now and answer those questions. What are you thankful for? What's worrying you? Who are your 12 for 21? If you're having a hard time finding those 12 for 21 or you don't know the names of the neighbors around you, remember blesseveryhome.com. They can help you have a daily reminder on your phone, through your email. A daily reminder, if you're having trouble remembering to pray daily, we need to make prayer a discipline in our lives. Jesus did, so must we. Prayer helps you know God better. It helps you find direction, and it's the way to lay your requests before God. Let's pray right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that everyone hearing this, God, that you would open their hearts and minds to know and love you more so that you will be honored and glorified in their lives. Amen. Next week, chapter 13 is about Bible study. Right now, I don't want you to get up and go anywhere or do a bunch of stuff. I want you to take the next few minutes to have those answers written down. And if you've got people in the room with you, people around you, here we're sitting at tables, the people at your table, share with them. What are you thankful for? What's stressing you out? And then take a minute to pray together and know that you can do that. Not just today, you can do that tomorrow. You can do that with your family. You can do that with other Christian friends. You can ask somebody who you know to be a Christian, but you've never had a spiritual conversation. Hey, can we do this? Can we do this at work on our break? Make prayer a part of your life as a disciple of Jesus, and we'll catch up with you next week.